A.
Not one incident along the route. Moving the biggest object that anybody's ever moved in a city, and not one single incident. Mission 26, mission accomplished. Getting the shuttle from LAX to the Science Center was no small feat, but you made the Endeavor's final mission a resounding success.
That was the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, and he was very excited about the fact that the Endeavor had 2 miles an hour made its way to Los Angeles, and he should be because so many people turned out, in fact, to watch this happen in Los Angeles. What does it take to get people into the streets? Well, an immigration march, I've seen that because I've actually been there trying to drive through it, and a couple other times in the history of L.A. have people gone out to line the streets, but nothing like they saw for the Endeavor. So it was a very cool day to be in Los Angeles and watch the Endeavor get pulled over the 405. And that's where we start. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney hanging out with you here on these airwaves. America Tonight, the name of the show. You can always ring in and throw in your 2 cents at 855-266-KATE, 855-266-5283. What a long journey it's been, 123 million miles, and it is all over now, resting in place in L.A., going on display later in the month. What was very cool is it inched its way across 12 miles from LAX, the airport there, to the Science Center. And knowing that area pretty well, they had to navigate around lots of light poles and trees, very narrow path that way. In fact, they had to cut down. It was kind of controversial because they had to cut down so many trees, and they had to have traffic signs taken out to make it fit because it's so big. The shuttle is capable of turning the shuttle 365 degrees, so that kind of helped it zig its way around some of the obstacles, but it was still pretty tough. So 25 space missions, 22-year career. You can tell I'm kind of one of those space geeks, and I think it's pretty cool. I wish I was in L.A. for that. They had 1,000 cops that had to be out there. 200 firefighters were around trying to help the shuttle maneuver its way, and thousands of people, very, very cool, were out to see the Endeavor. So what'd you do over the weekend? Over the weekend, I checked out a film called Argo, and it's about six hostages or six embassy workers that got out of the U.S. embassy and were holed up in the Canadian embassy and had no way to get out if it weren't for one CIA operative's brilliant idea to make a fake movie, get them Canadian passports, and get them out of the country. I don't want to give away the whole film. This was a classified mission. It was declassified by Clinton in the 90s, therefore the story could be told. It is a fabulous movie. I took a little time this weekend and I went to see it. Worth seeing, trust me. Sally is listening to us in Washington patiently, so Sally, we are going to give you the floor. Thanks for calling America Tonight.
Hi, Kate.
Hey.
I went to see Argo this weekend, too.
Uh-huh.
This happened at the embassy. I was pregnant with my firstborn. He was born March of 79. And so I ripped off two of Time Magazine's covers for later on. And the cover was about Carter's failed mission on the first one. And the second Time cover was about how Russia was taking, how much of it was going red. So I've had those Time covers since 1979, and the movie starts out in January of 1979.
Wow, yeah, yeah.
So I lived through that, and uh-huh. It was bringing it back to me. But what the movie did not do, and I don't want to give away, so I'll be careful, but they don't talk about the failed mission that of Carter or the other people that were captured, like you're talking about the six.
Yeah, the six. No, okay. No. It focuses on the CIA, as you know. It focuses on the CIA guy, which is cool, Tony Mendez, because, of course, he had to go through all kinds of hoops to make it happen. And the filmmakers, the fake film, and rescuing those people, and really how he had to butt his head against the wall, even with Carter at the end, trying to get approval.
I love the movie. I want to tell you, I love the movie, but I was disappointed that it didn't talk about the failed mission. A lot of people believe Carter lost the election because of the failed mission.
Oh, yeah.
And then when Reagan took power, Reagan's motto was always peace through strength. And they, a lot of people, and it's only opinion, believe that the hostages were released to Reagan. And I remember watching him come off the plane. He had a red carpet out there for him. If they were afraid of Reagan, what Reagan would do.
Right.
You know, and so they were released under Ronald Reagan. I remember watching them come off the plane, and one guy got down on the ground and kissed the ground. You remember? I don't know if you're old enough.
Yes, I remember it. Yeah, I remember it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then too, I have a second point, if that's okay.
Sure.
I picked up, because I've seen all the movies I want to see there. I saw Taken 2, and I saw the different movies. I on the radio, I heard that, think of your Social Security number now, Kate. Mm-hmm. The first three numbers are the area where you live. And the next two numbers are the year you got your Social Security number. Like the two numbers in the middle, I don't want to get it on the radio, but the two in the middle, I got my Social Security number in 1974. So those mm-hmm. two, the year you got your Social Security, are the two numbers there. And then the last four is how many were issued that day, like when you came in, you know, like if you're like 4,000 were issued that particular day in your state or whatever. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I picked up a Reg magazine, and there's an article in here, and it's about Obama's birth certificate, and it's not in chronological order. You know, there's people still pursuing this, and it said that
sure.
there were two twins in Hawaii, Susan and Gretchen Nordyke,
mm-hmm.
whose births were recorded 3 days after Obama, and their chronological number 151-61 for the year, like on your Social Security number, you know, mine was 94.
Right.
61, he was born, and then the first girl is 10637, and her twin sister is 10638. Well, his is out of order, and they believe in this magazine. Of course, you can't believe everything you read, half what you see. But they're saying that this birth certificate that he put up on there is out of chronological order, and that there was 439 babies born, and they said an average day, maybe 48 babies, but not 439. So I kind of found that interesting with hearing on the radio about Social Security numbers. And then the
yeah.
same thing, they're giving out chronological in the hospital, so something's not adding up.
Yeah, it could be, though, too. Some of the there were some butchered, photocopy things that were put out there for his birth certificate, too. And as you said, you got it off of a rag, right? You got it at a rag magazine
well,
at the checkout counter?
I did see the number because it is the file number 15161 for the year he was born, like your Social Security number.
Sure.
And then chronological order. And so what they think is that there's a guy suing the father of this girl, Virginia Sanahara, in Hawaii. His daughter died on August 5th. She went to the same hospital. And he thinks that they won't let him have the birth certificate of his daughter. He thinks that they're using her Virginia
birth certificate. Yeah.
The chronological
yeah.
number.
Yeah.
And I just found that kind of fascinating, but we don't know. Maybe
yeah.
we'll never know.
I would say, well, yeah, to be 100% sure of anything, I mean, that's a great way you ended that, Sally. You're never 100% sure of anything. I agree with you, too, obviously, on the Carter deal. I think it's absolutely what blew the election for him. And then Reagan came in. They didn't want to mess with it. Boom. Hostages. That's it. So, yeah, I don't think there's any denying that. History tells you that for sure. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment frequent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
What's going on with food prices? Have you noticed how your favorite ice cream is now 14 ounces instead of a pint? Round-trip airfares into 9 major cities has increased 44% in just 1 year. Ask your 18 to 25-year-old what it costs to buy some nice, fashionable jeans. $300? And yet not one person in 100 realizes these prices reflect government spending and Federal Reserve Bank dollar printing. Gold in the last 10 years has increased 450%, while the dollar's purchasing power is declining daily. My name is Daniel Larson. I work at Midas Resources. To learn more about how gold and silver can protect your dwindling purchasing power and your IRA accounts, call 1-800-686-2237, extension 134. That's 800-686-2237, extension 134. Daniel Larson, 800-686-2237, extension 134.
Big business has discovered the preparedness market, and that makes it difficult to know where to go and who to trust. MyPatriotSupply.com is owned and operated by patriots just like you. Has the best prices on storable food, non-GMO seeds, water filtration devices, home canning equipment, survival and self-reliance books, and more. MyPatriotSupply.com has old-fashioned values and the absolute best customer service in the industry. Look for the deal of the day, unique, affordable survival supplies that fit anyone's budget. Get same-day shipping on all orders and free shipping on orders over $49. Call 866-229-0927, 866-229-0927, or visit MyPatriotSupply.com for emergency preparedness, self-reliance, and food independence. Shop with a name you know and a name you can trust. Before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Those fingers in my hair.
Halloween is coming up, and you know how much I love Halloween. Not just Dracula, but also the witch thing. When I was a kid, I couldn't get enough of those witch stories. I don't know. But I think a lot of people feel that way. And I also had a chance, as we toured battlefields and did all the historical things on the East Coast, we also went to Salem. And there is something very strange about Salem and the whole witch trials and all of that. So joining us on the show is Jack Heath. He has a book out that is just climbing the charts. It's top 100 on Kindle, probably even beyond that. And the book does a couple of things besides the obvious, talking about Salem witch trials. But it also goes a little deeper than that and talks about the history of the witch trials. And check this out, and I'm going to let Jack tell you this. He's in the wings drinking probably one of our virtual brews, but he's got an ancestor that was just a whole big push for him to do this. So we're going to dive into it. SalemWitchTrilogy.com. You can go there, and you can, that's the, you know, the main site, so you can check out the book and grab up the information. But Jack, thanks for coming on the show. It's so timely with Halloween right around the corner.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Kate, and I love the show, and thank you for having me. And my ancestor that you referred to was Rebecca Nurse, and the book is Salem 6, Rebecca's Rising. And I knew when I was a young boy from mostly my father and grandfather, who would talk to me a lot about our ancestors, that I was descended from Rebecca. So she's kind of always been in my mind. And the irony is my great-grandfather married a Putnam, and they were the accusers of Rebecca and her fellow victims who were hanged as witches 320 years ago. And Rebecca was the final one of the 19 who was actually hanged at 71 years old as a great-grandmother for being a Salem witch.
Ooh. So for you, this is obviously personal, like you just obviously described there, Rebecca's Rising. But what did you find out that it would just maybe shock people about the whole Salem witch trial thing.
Well, my book was a fictional twist. A few years ago, I was on vacation, and I just said, what if the judges in the Salem witch trials weren't the judges, and what if they were part of a coven that was still carrying out some, you know, secret satanic stuff today, and the book actually takes place the 13 days before Halloween. So I had fun with a lot of the real history, but what if it wasn't what we thought it was, and what if these 19 people who, by the way, none of them ever confessed to being witches, they were... A lot of this was just puritanical paranoia, land disputes. If anyone acted strange, people were afraid of their own shadows. So it was just a pretty scary place in Salem. And what if it wasn't what we thought it was in Arthur Miller's The Crucible? And what if it's still going on today? But since then, I found out that there's some interesting questions that are really true, which my book kind of alludes to, and I didn't know. And one of them is the mass grave site of the Salem witches has never been discovered, which is kind of strange. You think, you know, 320 years later, they'd at least find where most of these victims are buried, and it's still a mystery.
Yeah, so 320 years, we still don't know that? There's nothing they can't, there's no trace of where that is?
No, and Pat LaMarche recently wrote about this on Huffington Post. They have a monument in the center of town, and Rebecca's family, mm-hmm. my ancestors, actually, a few hundred years after she was buried as an accused witch, they went and secretly, one of her sons unearthed her body. I'm not kidding. This is true. And knew where to go and brought her back to their family farm in Danvers and gave her a proper Christian burial. But the rest of the 19 victims, their bodies are somewhere near Gallows Hill. And for whatever reason, and I grew up next to Salem, I just never knew that there wasn't a plaque or a monument or a memorial. And I found out after my book, with some reviews that people said, you know, you should raise this question. So it's kind of an interesting question, but there is a fascination of the whole Salem witch trials that you alluded to earlier, Kate.
Yeah. You know, I wrote a book, Jack, and when you write a book, the characters get in your head, and you're somebody who's behind the mic, and you've been somebody who's done stuff with words before. So when you come from that perspective and those characters float around in your brain for a while, you adopt certain ones. I would naturally think it's Rebecca, but was it Rebecca that you gravitated toward?
Great question, Kate. Actually, Rebecca is this figure who kind of rises within the main character, who's a semi-retired media guy who moves back home to Salem to take over the local newspaper after being a TV correspondent in Washington, and his cross bloodlines. The character in the book, like me, is related to Rebecca Nurse and one of the accusers. So these things start happening in his life, but the one character I had the most fun creating in Salem 6, Rebecca's Rising, was Abigail Putnam, who was kind of the senior Wiccan in today's community, who had a lot of the shops for, you know, tattoos and psychic readings. And there are actually in Salem today, because it's the witch capital of the world, and mm-hmm. I urge anyone to go to the city before Halloween if they can get a place to stay, there are these parlors and neat kind of Wiccan shops, and I created this character, Abigail Putnam, and she was one of my favorite ones to actually create in the book.
Yeah, and that's like I said, you definitely fall in love with the characters when you're doing this, and at least one always stands out. And I mentioned at the top, because we're sending people to really check out your website, a great website. It really gives you, I think, an in-depth perspective of you and how this all came about, stuff that we're talking about now. But I said Salem Witch Trilogy, so that means you got two more either ready to write, or you have notebooks full of stuff and you're pulling it together. Very smart, by the way. So tell us what's coming up with the next two books.
I'm actually in the process. I realize I'm very fortunate and blessed, and I realize it's not the normal path. I've had many authors as guests on my own radio show in New Hampshire, and I respect the struggle to get a book out there. But my story was, I guess, unusual and entertaining and sort of that historical, suspenseful, and I enjoyed collaborating with John Thompson, who's a great suspense writer. So I got a three-book deal, but I'm in the process now of I began writing the second book fairly recently, and the outline's done. I'm into the characters. I'm actually into a great twist in The House of Seven Gables and Nathaniel Hawthorne as part of my next book. So I'm into the second book, and people can check out the stores for the first book and ask for it. And SalemWitchTrilogy.com is a great channel to keep people posted.
Yeah, and like I said, perfect time with this whole Halloween thing going on. You're not surprised that that the book is doing well, right?
I mean, I'm a little, you know what it is. I think being a former reporter, where you have to condense things into a 30-40 second thought. I didn't want to write a book that was arduous and difficult to get through. I wanted it to be a fun, entertaining read. So that's one thing. People really like reading it. The twist, I had no idea that a lot of people hadn't sort of taken the whole Salem witch trials and turned it upside down. And being a descendant and always wanting to do something with the Salem witch trials, because as a little kid, my grandfather would take me to the Witch Museum and the PBS Essex Institute and all these historical places and had like a leash on me, and I was just like a little kid. I always thought it was I love the history of Salem. So, I think people like to escape today's stressful and our handheld society and politics and everything else. I think it was just a fun escape. I had no idea, though. I have ruffled a few feathers in Salem, because I have learned that the purists in Salem, they don't like anyone asking questions about the history. But I've told them, hey, I'm a descendant. I grew up down there. You're not even from there, some of you, so just enjoy it. It's about entertainment, and Rebecca is rising.
Hey, I'd be remiss, because I'm a sports person, too. My book is Level the Playing Field, Balls, Brats, and Other BS, Jack. And I noticed that you were reading a book about Bobby Orr. My uncle is a guy named Bernie Perrant, and he told me the hardest shot he ever had to try to take was Bobby Orr's. He said he was the toughest player he ever faced.
Yeah, well, I believe, Kate, and it's been a real pleasure and honor being on the show, I believe I was a kid at that game when Bernie Perrant was the goaltender, and I think Phil Barber stuck his knee out and hurt Orr. But Bernie Perrant was a phenomenal goaltender. I mean, that guy was unbelievable, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah, how disappointed were you when Boston lost to Philly? That was tough.
Oh, 3-1. I forget these things. I'm just happy that they were able to come back and do it against Vancouver, and hopefully they'll get the strike resolved soon.
Yeah, hopefully. That's what I was thinking. And at least we have football, and we don't have replacement refs anymore if we wanted to beat up on them. Do you think, because obviously you got to be, are you a big Patriots guy? You do a show with Bob LaBelle. I'm thinking you are, right?
Oh, yeah. No, we live and die and watch the Patriots. I love the I love how physical and how little time these guys have. And speaking of Bobby Orr, I think as picky as we are in New England, I think we're watching in Tom Brady kind of that Ted Williams, Larry Bird, Bobby Orr greatness. It's fun to watch the Patriots.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, he's not going to wear another uniform, is he? He's just going to retire. Once he's done, that's it. He's not going somewhere else.
I don't know. I never thought Joe Montana would. You never thought a lot of these guys. I mean, Tom Brady, if he stays healthy, who knows? He might get, but I doubt it. I think he'll retire. I think he wants to do a couple more years.
Yeah, that's what I think, too. Jack Heath, if people want to pick up the book, they can get anywhere. Amazon.com, B&N, all the normal places, right?
Yeah, and I guess out in the stores, they're in the process now, so ask for it and enjoy it. And it is a lot of fun, because it does take place before Halloween and kind of makes you think a little bit about that whole spiritual, paranormal stuff. And it's a fun little twist with a real satanic cult at work in Salem. So it's fun.
All right, Salem 6, congratulations and good luck with the book. We'll talk to you again.
Real pleasure, Kate. I'm a fan and enjoy the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
My name is Gary Johnson. I approve this message. Of the many people running for president in 2012, only 3 will be on the ballot in all 50 states come November. For those of you worried I'll take votes away from the Democrat, and to those of you afraid I'll take votes away from the Republican, I say good. They deserve to lose your vote. Take as many votes as possible away from the people in both parties, keeping us in a state of perpetual war, increasing unsustainable debt, record joblessness, and a bipartisan economic death wish, ruining America for 330 million of us. Be libertarian with me for one election. If after 4 years you decide honest, effective government doesn't work for you, you can always vote failure back into office again. Live free.
Paid for by GaryJohnson2012.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick.
That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 organic soil conditioner, fertilizer amendment, and compost accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
What's her name? To plead my case. No, oh yes. Just send me in the outer space. At my fingers. I'll be true. Put diamonds and gold. But that ain't gonna help me now. Trouble. Get in trouble now. I'm trouble, y'all. I stir my head down. Trouble. Get in trouble now.
Each and every show, I always pound it home that you can be a part of it, whether you want to call in or not. You can always jump on the email, and overwhelmingly, so many of you end up sending me great emails. So just remember AmericaTonight.net. If you go there, you can check out our pictures from Ireland. Also, press 4, download it. You have a chance to win an iPhone. Pretty cool. If you don't want the iPhone, you get the $200 instead of the iPhone. Plus, if you click on contact, that's how you can contact the show. And always over the weekend, we get an avalanche of hot opinions, courtesy of snail mail. So without further ado, let's go to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
All right, this one's from Steve-O, and Steve-O says, hey, Kate, I have to say I really enjoyed your trip to Ireland. I was glad to see some of the pictures. It sounded like everywhere you turned, there was just another castle. I'm kind of thinking about going to Ireland, because if you can get a cheap flight and there's cheaper places to stay, why not? I looked into it, and I live in the Northeast, and the flights were pretty doable, like $700. So if I saved up, that's the price of going to the Jersey Shore, to be honest, for a week. Yeah, don't I know? It's probably Jersey Shore is probably way more than that. You know, it's interesting that if you go on Expedia and Orbitz and all that, a lot of times you see the more exotic the locale, the better the flight. And that's probably because certain countries are trying to get you to go there. And no different from Ireland, like Aer Lingus usually has a lot of deals. And So I was looking at that too a couple years ago and found that you could go to England, Ireland, I want to say like Spain. There was a bunch of other places that I was surprised at how it would be cheaper for me to do that than do some of the other things that I was looking into. Yeah, Ireland was great. I mean, it really is. Of course, you think of history and the thousands of years we're talking about and some of the things that you see there and crumbling castles or castles that are intact, and you think of the Vikings, and because really they were the original inhabitants of Ireland. So I'm glad you enjoyed it. We met some really cool people, and probably the best thing, Bram Stoker. Think of that, Bram Stoker and Dracula. He grew up right in the neighborhood where we were staying, and the Dracula book was actually on display at Trinity College, and you think 9th century work, and how cool is that? So, and now what it spawned, so many other things, and I bet you not too far in the future they'll have like Dracula tours and that kind of thing. With Halloween coming up, it made me think of it, the whole Dracula deal. All right, here's another one. This one from, let's see, Luke times 2, who says, did anybody nail the score this past weekend? The game was San Francisco and the Giants, and the final score, boy, I just got killed in my pool, I have to tell you. New York beat San Francisco. You know what the score was? 26-3. You know, I thought San Francisco, Matt said San Francisco 24-16. I said San Francisco 27-21. And it was the Giants. A lot of you picked the Giants, but nobody picked that kind of a clobbering. There were some strange outcomes this week in the NFL. Like I said, I did terrible in a football pool that I was in. Just had a handful of wins. I was so on the wrong side of just a ton of the games, including, it's funny, I picked Green Bay a lot to win, and Green Bay played Houston, and they just killed them. I mean, killed them 42-24. So I was on the wrong side of that one, too. I mean, almost every game I touched, it was brutal. Nowhere to hide. And I didn't nail the score this time around. All right, here's another one from the E-Man. And the E-Man says, Kate, who do you think is going to win the presidential debate this time around? I have to think that Obama will perform better, but it seems as though Romney's very comfortable in this debate format. I bet he wins this one, too. This is foreign policy. It's focusing mostly on that. You can bet the Libya situation will come up. Of course, anything to do with the Middle East, the wars, Iran, Israel, all kinds of things, probably the euro. I think that Romney still is going to come out pretty strong because it is his format. I went back and I did some research on Romney and debating. And Romney got killed in a debate when he was running in Massachusetts a long time ago, when he was running for Senate, actually, and he got clobbered by Kennedy. Ted Kennedy just ate his lunch. And he looked uncomfortable with the questions and what was going on and in the whole debate scenario. And this is a way different Mitt Romney. Now he's much more schooled in the art of debating, I guess I'll call it that. He knows how to come back and he knows what he's, I think he knows how to dance around that whole thing. I mean, there's just things you're stronger at, and he's much stronger at it than he was that time around. And that probably would have been, gosh, if you look back into his history, that was years and years ago, and think of when that would have been with Kennedy. And so now I'm going to say, after looking at the first one and all the debate practice he had, frankly, when we had all the Republican debates, because it was crazy. There was 20 of them. So, of course, you're going to get stronger the more that you do it. And he got stronger. That probably was great, I want to say, practice for him in a sense, because he got used to the questions and the news cycles and what possibly, you know, was going to come out of that. So people are still talking about the VP debate and who won that. 48% of the people who watched the VP debate think that Paul Ryan won it. Remember, I was talking about this before with CNN Orc nationwide poll that they did right after the face-off. 44% said that Joe Biden won it. I was on a talk show, guest on a talk show the next day, and the talk show host thought Biden was incredible. I mean, thought Martha Raddatz did a great job moderating and thought Biden did a great job, and this was a big comeback for the Democrats. But I thought that Biden's, I've already said this, but I think all the interruptions was just crazy nonsense to me. It was just too many. I mean, he could have jumped in there a little bit, but it was just, I don't know, seemed way over the top to me. But the VP debate doesn't really matter compared to the presidential debate, which was the question, who do I think is going to win? I think Romney wins it, but maybe it's a draw because Obama is bound to be better this second time around. It's not going to be the same. He's going to be stronger. So maybe it's more of a draw, but still in favor of Romney. I don't think he's not going to have that look of, I don't want to really be here. That's what it seemed like to me the last time around. All right, let's take another one. This one from Jake in Austin, who emails us all the time and threatens to call the show. I think he actually did call the show one time, but to call again. And this one from Jake says, Kate, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Arlen Specter died over the weekend. And this was a guy who was really battling cancer. And despite the fact that he started to get under people's skin in his later years by flipping parties, he was still liked by a lot of people in Congress because he had been there, number one, for so long. He was like an institution back in his day. That's a statement, so I'm not going to disagree with that. There were people he worked with that were Republicans and Democrats that absolutely liked him. He spent 3 decades there, and he did, it was sad, he did have a little bit of a, you know, he was battling cancer, and it seemed like he had beaten it. He had times where he was obviously beating it, and then in the end it took his life, 82, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. He was in Philly when he died, and he was, you know, he was a Republican for so long and then jumped to the Democratic side when he was just getting pummeled. And I can remember, because I would get Philly Magazine, I can remember getting Philly Magazine, and I think he was on the cover of it, and they were talking about that he was a wild card when it came to Washington politics. And the reason why is because people hated him on the right and the left, and then people loved him on the right and the left. And I guess that's probably a fair assessment of Arlen Specter. I thought he had a rough time with the whole healthcare deal, trying to sell it to the people of Pennsylvania. He was getting clobbered in those town hall meetings because he didn't have the answers, which was the problem with healthcare in general. Nobody had the answers for when people wanted to know, well, what's going to happen with my premiums, and what are you doing, and what's going to happen to the care, and how can I afford this? And he never had great answers, I think, for that. And then everything unraveled anyway when he tried to move over, go back to the Democrats. And, you know, when he did that, you think about it, he became a Democrat in 2009. Him moving gave Democrats a 60-seat filibuster majority in the Senate. So then in 2010 it was, when he ran for re-election, he lost the primary to Joe Sestak. So that was the end. That was the end of his You know, that was the end of his career. All right, let's move on to another one. This one from Haley, who says, Argo, 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 I couldn't agree more. What a great movie it was. I didn't feel like it was in the movie theater. That's when you know it's good, when you leave and you feel like you saw something that was worth seeing. Yeah, simple way to put it, that's true. How many times do you leave a movie theater and you're like, eh, that was an okay movie, but I could have done something else. That, it's worth it. I've already said that, and I think that's why this was one that came in late. That's what you're referring to. I talked about really liking that movie, and it was worth going to see. It's not too long, either, and you feel pretty decent when you come out of it. All right, you can always get in touch with us, americatonight.net.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock, save you money, and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today. HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system. Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today. Here it comes, another cold and flu season. Get ready for it and save now during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Don't be without powerful natural flu fighters like elderberry power capsules. They support the immune system and they have antiviral properties. Another powerful antiviral is olive leaf capsules, highly recommended by Herbal Healer Academy. Also on sale is Physician Strength Oregacillin, a savior for the lungs. It fights bacteria, virus, and fungus. Our famous four herb capsules are a gentle liver cleanser and can be taken daily. Also featured this winter are the homeopathic detoxes, liver, kidney, lung, lymph, whole body, and brain detox on sale. And remember, as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.
If you've ever had to stay in a hospital, you know there is now a little bit of a panic about MRSA and a couple of other things that people have gotten from hospital stays. There's much more awareness of this. And if you check out Men's Health Magazine, it's something that they're talking about in their latest issue. And, you know, basically what it's called is the dirty truth about hospitals. And this is scary because I've spent some time seeing people going to visit people in the hospitals in the last year and a half. And everyone's aware of it and everyone's concerned about some of the things that are happening. So one of the editors from Men's Health Magazine joins us now, Greg Stebbin. Hey, Greg, how are you?
Hi, Kate. It's great to be here.
You know, it is true. When you go into hospitals now, I don't know when the last time is that you were in visiting someone or going in yourself, but you see the hand sanitizers everywhere, but somebody told me, well, that doesn't even work. What do they mean by that?
Well, first of all, let me just tell you, if you're in the hospital, you don't even have to be sick in the hospital to get sick from being in the hospital.
I know.
Don't touch anything. So
yeah.
Let's just start with your... I was in the hospital about a year ago visiting a friend's dad. And here's the worst stuff in a hospital room for you, the visitor, or even you, the patient. You know, like, imagine going in for knee surgery and you come out with an infection. I mean, you weren't even sick to begin with. Now you are. But just think about the mattress you're laying on. Somebody before you who was sick or bleeding or oozing was using that mattress before you. The bed adjustment panel. Somebody with disgusting, dirty, sick hands kept putting their hands on that thing to adjust the bed. And so you're visiting and you lean over, oh, let me help you sit up. No, I'm not touching that thing. The privacy curtain, when they got that sick person up, they were hacking and wheezing and hawking onto the privacy curtain. Now you're in there visiting and you're bumping up against it. And what about the TV remote? I'm not touching that thing. And finally, the fifth other really disgusting thing in a hospital room, even if you're just visiting, the nurse call button. It's what everyone reaches for when they feel the worst. When they feel the worst, they're hacking and hawking up the worst germs. This is all stuff you want to be careful of when you're in the hospital, whether you're sick, whether you're having knee surgery, or whether you're just there visiting.
So maybe what if you are admitted into the hospital, what could you do? I guess you could bring a disinfectant with you, seriously, and just wipe things down.
Sure, but, you know, there's actually some other things you can do. For instance, I read this article, and here's what I did, and I encourage you, Kate, and all your listeners to do the same thing. We talk in this article about a website at hospitalcompare.hhs.gov. I'm going to say it again. Hospitalcompare, it's all one word, .hhs.gov. You go there, you put in the names of all your local hospitals, and it'll give you their infection rates. So you can actually plug in your local hospitals and know which one does the best job of fighting infection. It's not foolproof. Nothing's foolproof. But it gives you the best idea of where to go in an emergency. You know, if your kid cuts his arm or, you know, you got to rush someone off to the emergency room, look, if it's life or death, you got to go to the closest hospital. But if you have a choice and it's worth going an extra mile or two to another hospital, know which hospital to go to. Don't start doing the search in the middle of an emergency. Get the name of the best hospital now. Do what I did, put it on the door of your refrigerator, so every time you go in there to get something to eat or drink, you see the name of that hospital, and when there's an emergency, you're going to remember exactly which one is best.
Yeah, there you go. That's the best suggestion of all. And is it true, because this is one of the statistics that you sent me, how many infections are killing how many people a day, like 300? Is that right?
Yeah, this is staggering. So the statistic we uncovered was, and I'm just going to read it to you, hospital-acquired infections are killing about 300 people a day in the United States. That's a staggering number of people to die. Now, you have to take that in all its context and consequences. Obviously, some of those people are already very sick. They're already very weak. But some of those people who are getting sick or dying from infection shouldn't be dying. They should be going in and out of a hospital perfectly healthy, and there's a germ problem there that, frankly, we have to get control of.
Yeah. I had a friend that got Mercer, came into the emergency room, just had a cut, got Mercer, and almost died.
It's a terrible, terrible thing. So you need to be very vigilant about this. And let me throw out a couple of other ideas that are not obvious, but once you hear them, you'll think, yeah, that's absolutely what I should do. So, for instance, you're in the hospital or a friend or a family member is in the hospital. Every time someone comes in the room, doctor, nurse, aide, it doesn't matter, before they touch you, say to them, did you wash your hands? And kind of make a joke of it. I'm kind of a germ freak. Did you wash your hands? And you know what? If you laugh about it, they'll laugh too. And it's not to say that they didn't wash their hands, but you'll just be reminding them that you are vigilant about keeping your environment clean. And most likely, your reputation will get out to the nurse's station, and they'll all know that you're paranoid about keeping things clean, and they'll probably do better to keep things clean just because you put a little effort to make them aware that it's important to you. Those kinds of little things, again, not foolproof, but they can certainly add up to keep you healthier while you're in the hospital.
Why is it that we, as you say, we have to do a better job of it, but there's no statistics kept on this, or why are we not all over this? Why isn't this a big issue of all the things, for goodness sake, that they testify on the Hill about. They're not looking into dirty hospitals?
Well, one of the problems is it's kind of what hospitals are required to report. So a hospital doesn't have to report an infection problem unless there's a death associated with it. So if there's no death or major illness, they don't have to report it. And if you're a hospital administrator and you think you might have a problem, but you're not legally required to report it, are you going to report it?
Mm-hmm.
Probably not. That's your job on the line, and also the reputation and the financial health of your hospital. I'm not saying that's right. I'm just saying that's probably the mindset. So the problem that creates is, if nobody knows how bad it is, nobody can compile statistics to really understand what's going on. And those statistics aren't just important to get to a total. They're also important because with those kinds of statistics that we should be gathering, the kind of information we should be gathering, surely researchers could look at the information itself and begin to draw some conclusions about where the problems are coming from. And that then puts us on the road to actually solving some or many of those problems.
Yeah. What about the cleaning crew? Because you see them all the time in the hospitals. Are they just doing a lickety-split job, or what's happening there?
Well, so this is a really interesting thing. There's two parts to this answer. First of all, to be fair to the cleaning crew, they're generally very low paid, and they generally don't get the training that they need. And this has consequences in a variety of places. Let's talk about the cleaning crew in an operating room and the cleaning crew in your room where you're staying. The crew in the room where you're staying just may not understand how thorough they need to be or how important it is to be thorough. And or it may be that they're understaffed and they're being pushed to clean faster and faster, and they're simply not given time to do an adequate job. That's on one hand. On the other hand, and frankly, an even scarier scenario is, now let's go into the operating room. In the good old days, you'd have surgery, and after the surgery, they could throw the scalpel into a pot of alcohol to clean it, right? You just throw it in some alcohol and it's sterilized. You can't do that today because so many things in the operating room are electronic, they're digital, and they're complicated. And you can't just throw them in some alcohol to clean them. They need very specific cleaning, and the cleaning staff in many hospitals is not getting the training they need to know how to clean those things. So they're actually discovering with these very high-tech tools, sometimes nobody knows how to clean the tool properly, and people are getting infections from things because bits of tissue are hiding in places that no one knew that were even there. So you've got this huge, on one hand, these electronics and these new tools are great. They're fighting infection because the kinds of surgeries we're doing are so much more sophisticated. The actual incisions and things are so much smaller and using lasers and all that. But on the other hand, the tools are so sophisticated, teaching a staff how to clean them, and then, oh, look, here's a whole new wave of tools that we have to teach them again. It just hasn't been adequately addressed yet.
Yeah, of course, you know, there's so many other things we could talk about with the hospitals, as you know. It's like, I think the scariest thing, this is the whole having dirty hospitals is frightening. But how about the stuff with leaving instruments in people, Greg? That's just as bad.
Well, and, you know, before we go on, Kate, I want to say something, and I think this is a really important point. We didn't write this article to vilify anyone.
Yeah.
We didn't write this article to say these people are bad or they're not doing their job. I think hospitals and hospital administrators have an incredibly difficult job on their hands. I think it's an uphill battle every day. I think they're doing the best they can. And many of the things we're talking about here are the kinds of things, especially in the operating room with new forms of surgical tools and digital and electronic equipment. These are new problems that nobody even anticipated. No one knew that they were a problem until they became a problem. So we don't mean to say that, you know, the people who run your hospital are bad people. They're probably great people, and what an incredibly difficult, thankless job. But you as a consumer and a healthcare participant need to be aware of things you should be doing to keep yourself and your family safe.
Yeah, perfect way to end this. As always, Greg Stebbins, it's a pleasure to talk to you and have you on the show. One of the editors of Men's Health Magazine. We'll talk to you again in the future.
It's great to be here, Kate.
Every day, nearly 3,000 families enter into foreclosure and face losing their home. If you're currently behind on your mortgage, you can still avoid foreclosure. You can save your home, but you need to act now. We're Allied State Foreclosure Services. We're experts in saving homes from foreclosure. With just one phone call to us, you can stop the foreclosure process, lower your monthly mortgage payments, and save your home. Call now. The call is free with no obligation. 1-800-597-8843. Call us if you've been threatened with foreclosure, denied loan modification, or missed a payment on your mortgage. If you've been a victim of a predatory loan or are upside down on your mortgage, even if you've lost your job and you're worried about losing your home, don't wait. Call us now and let us help you save your home. You've worked hard to build a life with your family. Let us help you keep your home. Call now before it's too late. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843. 1-800-597-8843.